Right, so how y'all doing? My name's John Delaney. I'm with the Fedora ARM team. Also do Fedora QA. So if there's any problems with the Fedora release, you can yell at me for that. I've been with Fedora for close to 5 years now. A little bit of a feedback. Let's see. Can I turn this down? I guess not. I guess I don't have the proper root access for that. So anyway, so Fedora on ARM was originally done by Marvel back in, they started around the Fedora 11, Fedora 12 time frame. And then starting with Fedora 14, Fedora itself actually started an ARM team. And at first it was ARM v5. And a few releases ago, we ported to ARM v7, and as of Fedora 18, we are dropping ARM v5. ARM v7 has hardware floating point, and later versions of it, Cortex A15, for instance, has LPAE, which is large physical address extensions, as well as virtualization. As I said, we support ARM v7, so if it's ARM v7 hardware, as long as the support is in the upstream kernel, we'll support it. That means, for instance, right now, the BeagleBone Black is sort of working, but because it boots, but no Ethernet, nothing else works. And we're working very hard to get that fully supported in Fedora 20. We do not support the Raspberry Pi. There's the PyDora release, which is done by Seneca College up in Canada. And we don't support Raspberry Pi because it's only ARM v6. Also, there's the slight problem of non-open source bits in the kernel. We have all kinds of coolness coming up. Some of y'all might have heard something about Fedora going, or ARM going primary Arch in Fedora 20. I'll get into that. ARM v8 is new upcoming ARM technology. It's 64-bit ARM. And I'll go over basically what we're doing in that sphere and how we ported to ARM v8 and how we're supporting that. And then I'll maybe get into a demo, assuming everything works. As I said, Fedora 18 is the last supporting ARM v5. So that new things like your Pogo plug and so on and so forth will no longer be supported. We're shipping a unified kernel, so it's one kernel for all ARM devices. If the manufacturer of that SoC supports unified kernel and has the code in the unified to do unified kernel, then Fedora will work on it out of the box. One of the biggest problems with ARM is getting SoC manufacturers to get their code in the kernel. Even if they actually fully open source their stuff, they tend to not always want to do the work to get it into the kernel. And that causes us a problem because we don't ship a non-open source kernel and we don't want to do your work for you in getting your code out of your personal Git repo and into our kernel. That's your job. We've got over 13,000 packages that work, and pretty much any package that works on x86 works on ARM. There's a few exceptions that just don't make sense. Like there's some packages that are PowerPC only, there's some packages that are x86 only, but the vast majority of them work fine on ARM processors. And we're going primary Arch. That means that if a bug in ARM meets our release blocking criteria, then that means that the whole release will block for ARM architecture. And early in the stage, we had a blocker bug where glibc did not work on ARM, but it worked on x86, and that was considered a blocker bug. It's since been fixed. Where that also means that we have ARM builds going in Koji, which is the Fedora build server. you can go to koji.fedoraproject.org and download ARM packages. The QA team is working on ARM instead of just focusing on x86. And that also means there's full Bodhi support with Karma and updates and testing and all that sort of thing that goes with that. And also, the best part about this is we have now packagers are taking over some of the load from the ARM team, whereas previously it was pretty much entirely the ARM team fixing ARM-specific bugs. Now packagers will pretty much have to help out with that, and usually individual packagers know their package better than, or at least in theory, they know it better than the folks on the ARM team. ARM processors are generally called SOCs, system on chip, and it's not just the CPU, but it's all oftentimes it also includes USB controllers, Ethernet, sometimes even wireless, all on the same chip. And the SOCs we support are, as listed there, Exynos is the chip, is the SOC in the Samsung Chromebook. Fedora runs beautifully on here. I use this as my primary laptop. Tegra, Hibank. Tegra is TrimSlice, if I recall. Hibank is in the new Calzetta servers. Freescale makes their own ARM SOC. If you ever buy a Wanda board, that's a Freescale chip. And AM35X is what's in the BeagleBone black and white. VXpress is ARM's. It's ARM's prototype hardware that they support, but it's also when you run QEMU, ARM, the basic QEMU ARM is VXpress. And you could either buy the actual physical VXpress developer platform, which costs a lot of money and requires NDAs, or you can just run it in QEMU, which is emulation. And once again, if you want Fedora to support your stuff, get it into the upstream kernel. We do not support, as I said, the Raspberry Pi because of the whole ARM v6 thing and non-open source kernel. We're dropping support for PandaBoard because the Texas Instruments is dropping support for their entire line of ARM processors. So since Texas Instruments is killing it off, we figure we don't want to support something that's no longer supported upstream. I say the Chromebook works, but the problem with Chromebook is not so much the kernel, but it's in Google's funky verified U-boot, which requires a special image to get the Chromebook to work, and we don't want to. Basically, Fedora does not want to support the extra work that's involved in getting it working. But there are remixes available using pretty much pure Fedora. It's just a disk format thing that causes that problem. Allwinner Allwinner A10, A20 support is not quite in the upstream kernel yet, so we don't support those yet. So that means things like the Gooseberry don't quite work with Fedora quite yet. And once again, if you want Fedora to support it, get it in the kernel. We've got all kinds of cool stuff coming. Virtualization works now, but it's not very easy. You have to hand build a kernel. You don't have to build QEMU from Git repos anymore. You can use RPMs for that, but libvirt doesn't really support ARM virtualization quite yet, and vert manager also doesn't. So those things are coming, but those are things that make virtualization on ARM easier rather than just purely working. We've got all kinds of cool new hardware coming that supports vert. Calzetta will be coming out with a server that has, they'll probably be coming out with 64-bit soon. I can't really go any farther than that. They've definitely got Cortex A15-based boxes coming. And, of course, like I said, the support in libvirt and vert manager. There's talk of Anaconda working on ARM servers, so you'll be able to kickstart an ARM server. And once again, the more ARM servers, and ARM V8. Vert landed in 3.10, the Linux kernel 3.10. That's KVM. Xen landed in 3.9, I believe. QEMU with 1.5 plus will support ARM virtualization. You have to have LPAE enabled when you build your kernel, in addition to the Vert extensions, because virtualization on ARM is built on using the LPAE address translation. So it's two stages for LPAE and then another additional stage for the virtualization address translation. And when you run your QEMU, that's basically the command line option you'll want to run to get your KVM going. ARM V8 will be available in the new Apple iPhone. That's the first commercially available ARM V8 CPU. It's otherwise, if you don't want to buy an iPhone, you can run. There, ARM has an emulator available called the Fast Model. ARM V8 can run in 32 and 64-bit modes. 32-bit is essentially ARM V7. It's the same idea as Intel x86 and x86-64. Fedora will only support the 64-bit mode, so if you're running Fedora, you won't be able to run a 32-bit user space. And the reason for that is we want to get people onto the 64-bit user space. As I said, the only publicly available hardware is the iPhone. If you have about $15,000 and work for somebody that can let you sign non-disclosure agreements, Freescale has hardware available, but it's about, like I said, it's about $15,000 for each individual piece of hardware, and they're extremely rare. And there's the emulator, which I'll be demoing here shortly. We started out building ARM V8 we had different stages. Stage one was getting the build tools done. We start out with Lenovo's ARM V8 build tools, GCC, etc. And then we use those to build our own GCC, glibc, and so on and so forth. Stage two was getting a very minimal package set running, enough to essentially get bash going. Stage three was to build enough of the Fedora tool chain, build tool chain, to get mock running. And mock is a enclosed build environment, basically a shroot with added features that lets you build your packages in isolation. Stage four is a stage we're in now, which is basically building the entire Fedora package set. Stage five, which we're starting to go into, is building in Koji, which we're in the process of setting up a Koji instance just for ARM V8. And stage six will be full building on native hardware. Each of these stages was done in the emulated environment. The only cross-compilation was very early in stage one to get the tool chain going. And then since then, we've been doing it emulated. There's a quick start on Fedora Project Wiki if you would like to get involved. It details how to get the emulator going, how to get Fedora running on it. So if you'd like to play around with ARM V8, you go to that website and play around or check it out. And demos. I wanted to demo Vert working on ARM, but apparently I didn't build HDMI into my kernel on here, so that's not going to happen with that. Unless y'all want to come up afterwards and check it out, I'll show it to you. And let's see if I can get this over here. There we go. So this is the ARM V8 fast model I was talking about, running Fedora. And you can see it's running Fedora 19. And that's where the cat CPU info. Is there anything that y'all would like to see me do?
Well, we'll do this. Because I need to do this. I can't see.
And if you, for y'all that don't know, Saul is the solitary program. So X works on ARMv8. Assuming my demo goes. There you go. I can't see to play it, but you get the idea. Come on now. Well, it sort of works. I actually managed to play a whole game through the other night and, well, well, it's on the same computer. I'm not actually SSHing in. I'm using VNet or VirtualNet. So I'm. Well, in theory, it works. So that's. And as I did earlier, I can do it again. You know, cat procs APU in view, you see. Where it says ARMv8 processor, and anything else y'all want to see me do right quick with the demo? You know, I can show GCC does not, it's rather slow because it's an emulated environment. It's actually incredibly slow. It's around, it runs around 200 megahertz would be the equivalent of a real processor, if it was actually a real processor. So it's, building GCC takes days. Building a kernel takes all day. And it's not very pleasant. Okay, so apparently my slides went away. And easy ways to get involved, you can get onto on Freenode, you can IRC, you can join hash Fedora-ARM. We have our weekly, well, now it's biweekly status meetings on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Not sure what that is, UTC off the top of my head. The next meeting will be a week from this coming Wednesday. We have mailing list. And once again, you have the ARMv8 emulator. If you do not have any ARM hardware, you can run it in QEMU. We have instructions on the wiki for doing that. And so, any questions? You raised your hand first, so.
You said it supported Tegra processors.
Yeah.
You know which ones? The two or three? Or?
Both, two and three. Right. Yes, we have people with Linaro.
Okay. So you said Raspberry Pi is not going to be supported, and Beagle on Black kind of works, but not completely. Is there any, if you wanted to run it on hardware, what would you run it on?
Wanda board works right now out of the box. And the idea is to get BeagleBone Black working by Fedora 20 release. It's just that it's so new that we're still working on getting it working. In fact, like I said, it actually boots now. It's just not the whole thing. All the hardware is not quite yet supported.
Okay.
It will be in the next, it should be fully working in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
How far diverse
It's basically the same user experience as Fedora 18.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to get started and they had a Pi, that would be close enough that they could get the flavor of the distro, but if they ever wanted to go mainline, they'd have to move to a slightly different hardware platform.
Yes. Like I say, it's a matter of kernel support and the old hardware.
Because of the hardware or because of proprietary blobs? Or?
Both. It's like it's ARMv6, and ARMv7 user space and kernel will not run on ARMv6.
Okay.
Also, the proprietary blobs to get it to even boot. GNOME 3 does not quite work very well on most ARM hardware because of the lack of open source drivers. If there were more open source drivers, then GNOME would work better. There is a bug in LLVM pipe, which is what allows GNOME to work without 3D acceleration, that is causing LLVM pipe to not work on ARM right now. We're trying to get it fixed, but there's not a lot of people on a huge amount of work, so it's kind of where do we focus that energy? KDE works just fine. LXDE works. Pretty much anything but GNOME will work for a desktop environment on ARM. Any other questions right quick? Well, QEMU devs were waiting on ARM to release enough of the specifications for the ARM V8 hardware in order to do so. Previously, the only thing that was available was a listing of a guide for the assembly language. As of a week ago Wednesday, so a week and a half ago, ARM released the full specs, and so it depends on how long it takes the QEMU devs to go from that to actually releasing something. I would suspect maybe in QEMU 1.8, maybe 1.8 or 1.9. Yes. We actually have a remix for that now, but it's not quite the same situation as the Raspberry Pi. It's kind of the same situation as the Chromebook, in that all the bits are actually open source, but they're in a private Git repo. I mean, it's publicly available, but they're not in the mainline kernel. And so there's one gentleman that's working that is basically custom building a kernel for that and then supplying a Fedora image with that custom kernel. And support for the all-winter stuff is getting into the mainline kernel slowly but surely. And so maybe... Indeed. So maybe Fedora 21 will support it just fine. It might even wind up being supported eventually in Fedora 20 if 3.12 or 3.13 supports all winter with no extra work involved.
You know, people are able to dual boot this with like Android, hardware cabinets.
It's theoretically possible, and I don't know if anyone's done it. I don't know what Android uses for a bootloader. We use U-Boot, which is Android probably does use U-Boot itself. And with U-Boot, you can change, it's much like Grub in that you can change parameters in terms of what kernel you're booting into, what your user space you're booting with that kernel. It's not like Grub in that it's not really menu-based. You have to, it's kind of scary looking and a very steep learning curve there. You have to figure out which environment variables do what, and there's not good docs. I had to learn U-Boot by basically playing around with it and breaking things and playing around with it and breaking things. So we're trying to work on fixing that side of things too, but the embedded ARM guys are pushing back because they don't want U-Boot to be any more complicated from a software standpoint. They don't care if it's complicated from a user standpoint. Because most of the time when they create an embedded device, they don't care if the end user is actually playing with a bootloader or not. In fact, they don't want the end user playing with the bootloader. So, anything else? They're also working on ARM V8. So expect to see all kinds of really cool ARM server hardware coming out in December or January, basically late this year or early next year. Also, it'll be quite expensive, but that's the nature of servers. Well, in Fedora, we don't cross-compile. We do development either on actual native hardware or in an emulated environment. And it really is easier that way. You don't have, cross-compilation has its own set of issues. It's difficult to build a cross-compiler in the first place, and then they have a tendency to be somewhat unreliable, which is why we do ours as natively as possible. That's why we're doing our ARM V8 development in an ARM V8 emulator, even though it was so amazingly slow to build stuff. It still, in the long run, it leads to more reliable binaries. Anything else? Any of y'all want to see working virtualization on an ARM machine? I forgot to build HDMI into this, so apologies into the kernel when I built the kernel when I was on the airplane yesterday, so apologies for that. But what I will do right quick is I'll open up the terminal. There he goes. That's in it, running in a terminal. And if y'all are interested, I will be putting this image onto my Fedora People Space sometime this week. You'll need a 16 gig SD card and a Chromebook in order for it to run. The kernel is a custom build kernel. There's a patch required to get LPA to work on the Chromebook because there's a bug in the upstream, and that should be settled with 3.12, but if you want to run 3.10 or 3.11, you have to patch your kernel. When you build your kernel, the easiest way to go is do make exynos_devconfig and then manually edit to build to include LPAE and vert. I added a few other extensions as well, some extra file system support and so on and so forth, but the Exynos def config with the vert and LPAE enabled will get you a virtualized kernel or virtual capable kernel. You also have to have a vert capable U-boot, because the way ARM virtualization works is the bootloader puts the CPU into hypervisor mode, and then you can run your virtual machines on top of that. If you don't have it, you can't put it into hypervisor mode outside of the bootloader, which is a rather stupid design choice, I think, but it's the way it is. And we have login. If any of y'all want to play with it, I'll set it down right here. Also, running off the SD card is slow. Well, I've got my everyday Fedora on the internal. The problem with the upstream kernel on here is that the internal wireless does not work, and so that's why I'm running a 3.8 kernel for everyday use. You can plug in wireless dongles into the USB and go from there. But for something like a conference, it's easier to just go ahead and. That was smooth. Helps if you type in the right password. If y'all want to play with it, there's a virtual machine. So, any other questions? All right, well, thank you.